Good evening and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. Such stillness. If we only knew what stillness would bring to all of us. You know, we get a little taste of it. We get 30 minutes of it, being quiet and still. And one might not understand what that does until you've done it for an extended period of time. And it's a way we can all live. I'm talking to myself. It's a way we can all live. And like Randy was saying, we're so busy doing that we don't have time. We don't have time for the stillness. And yet it is that stillness that wakes us up to what's important in life. As we're running around. So it's so nice because we want to connect to everyone. We want to do something within our country to support the effort where all of us are being supported and being recognized and being considered and being loved and being all those kinds of things. We can't do it through busyness alone. That connection can only come through stillness. Now that's a big, big statement. But one has to just realize that for oneself. But just imagine. Wouldn't mean that we wouldn't be doing. It would just show us a way of how we can do with such equanimity. So it's so beautiful. That's not my talk tonight, but it was something that inspired me because I've been busy today. And then it's like, oh, stillness, my lover, my sweetness, my connection to life, my connection to life. So thank you. Do not hesitate to acknowledge that what you are doing through stillness has a huge impact, not only on yourself, not only on your family, but on the whole world, the whole country. And we might not quite believe that, and that's okay, we don't have to. But you're here for a reason, and you're willing to be still for a period of time. So there's something within all of us here that has some kind of interest in. What does it bring? What does stillness bring? So thank you. And let's get into our lesson for tonight. We are studying the Eightfold Path that happens to be ways that we can even add more stillness to our lives. More inner peace, more inner stillness that enables us to live life fully, completely. Even if we're busy, because that stillness can be there. I mean, it's there regardless once we touch it, because ultimately that's who we are. But anyway, so the Eightfold Path is telling us more ways, more steps to ways that we can help one another to be able to be more quiet and still and not have to deal with all the things of life that we did unskillfully. And so there's peace in these eightfold path. There's peace, more peace when you sit, and there's more peace when we live, when we can hear what can support that effort. And of course, the Buddha says, and we've talked about two and going into the third one, right view. Well, what does right view do for us? Where it reminds us that we're all connected, that there's no such thing as us and them, that we're all connected, right view. Can we imagine if that was something we live through constantly throughout the day? Thich Nhat Hanh calls it inner being. Inner being is the understanding that nothing exists separately from anything else. So we added more stillness, more consciousness. Each one of us. And then right view points us to that understanding. See how important Buddha Dharma is? Because it just reminds us. Reminds us of who we really are. Because it's so easy to get caught as a human being thinking this is all there is. So that's all I'm going to put my effort into, is being a human being, which is nothing's wrong with that. Except it ends. Then what? You know, then what? So the third one is speech, right speech. This is really a lesson for me. I know you think it may be a lesson for you and everyone, but this is my lesson and something that I'm going to listen intently to, because that's what I do with the Buddha Dharma. The Buddha Dharma is just reminders for me. Oh, yeah, Anita, right speech. How important is right speech? Well, as you well know, it has enormous power to sustain the connection of right view, that we're all connected. And what we're viewing sometimes throughout the day, it's not right speech. So it has enormous power, not only in the world, but as individuals. So there's two principles to right speech. The first one is truth. Hallelujah, truth. Wouldn't it be lovely for us to honor truth, to look for it, to know how to distinguish, to grok truth? And truth is so free, is so sweet. Is denial truth? Denial about ourselves? Denial about what's going on? Is that truth? I don't know. Some of us know someone who really can speak the truth to us honestly and truthfully. This is what Jack says. He said, admittedly, sometimes they're a pain in the ass. But mostly, one sense of that person is a delight. That there's someone in our lives we can go and speak to or listen to and hear the truth. For some of us, it may be our therapist. But thank God we've got someone. So it's just wonderful. We need some unconditional love truth about ourselves and what's happening. Because truth is transformational. If you want things to change, rely on truth. But we also know that there's that brutal honesty. So the Buddha said, oh yeah, well, always speak where we are maintaining that we believe we're all connected. So we speak with words of connection, or we speak with words of disconnect. And it's possible to say what's true, but not have it to be helpful. Brutal honesty doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. If we could do just right speech, everything would change towards the peace and the stillness. If we could change the world, we could become awakened, and we could see what's true. If we can just remind ourselves as yogis, because to speak truly means that one has to touch one's heart. And one has to listen to it. And one has to be there. So then all the rest of what one calls the path that we're on is with heart, because the heart follows all that. And we can use, and we do use, speech as a vehicle for love, as a vehicle for communion, for waking up. If we want to do good, then it has to be in our words with people we live with, people that we meet on the street, people that we do business with, people that we sit with, that we interact with in the stores. Randy and I don't remember really how it started, but we realized that we could be polite to one another, even when we disagreed. So we do daily have a lot of thank yous, please, and, you know, some sweetness. Now, as human beings, we forget, so you can understand what happens sometimes, but our intent is there, and we try hard at that. If we want to stop the conflict in our society, pay attention to our speech. Pay attention how and when our words are connected to the heart. And when our words aren't connected to our heart, notice it. How does it feel like? I've had lots of practice in that, you know. I have lots of practice in not speaking right speech. And I know what it feels like. And if we're in touch with our bodies, our whole body, it hurts. It doesn't feel good. So it's good to notice, because we are human beings and we're perfectly imperfect. We are going to put forth the effort for right speech, but you know what? It's not going to always be there. So how does that feel? That's the lesson of you can't do it wrong. It's a lesson either way. So maybe look and see what we haven't said to someone. Maybe a time to reflect on that. Because right speech acts as a question. Can we start to become conscious of those hours when we're just talking on automatic? So nice to be with a group where we can all be silent and we don't feel uncomfortable. Because we are feeling some comfort with this automatic pilot all all the time. Some people leave their TV on all the day. Why? They want the noise. Ooh, you know. So, and I've been there, so I'm not pointing fingers. Can we make our speech become more useful to ourselves and to everyone else on the planet? And to that question, we ask, what do we care about? What do we want for the world and for ourselves? And we're just looking at these principles that someone 2,600 years ago called the Buddha found out for himself. The principles to happiness, the principles to being a complete human being. And happiness and harmony comes. If you meditate, you know that. Because you've experienced, along with the rest of us, what it feels like. When the heart's closed and when the heart's open. Huge difference. But it's important to honor both. And when it's not there, is to recognize it and allow it and use it as your teaching. Oh, that wouldn't write speech. Maybe I can apologize. So if I can't make it right, it's not that I don't have that capability, then you forgive yourself. Okay, but you don't ignore it. It won't go away. So acknowledging the things that we do wrong is just as important as anything else. Because it's the only way we're going to get the information about ourselves on how to live happier. So this week, let's study along with right view and right thought, right speech a little bit. And we can start to look and see if we can find moments where we feel our speech isn't skillful. Just look at what's cooking inside and what's going on when we do it, because then you're practicing Vipassana. It's not on the bench or on the cushion or in the chair practice. That's just the pre-primer. But life, daily life, is our practice. So I'm going to end with, well, let's go back. I want to say that Tara Brach calls it the sacred pause, and we talk about that a lot. The pausing. Pause before we write that email. Pause before you say one might want to say to the other person. And then I'll end with Viktor Frankl. He says, between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space is your power and your freedom and also your love. So pause before you send that reactive text or email, or you speak rather than just jumping right in. And so I'm going to stop here because it's going to give us some opportunity to engage with one another. Let's stay on the topic of right speech tonight. Or any of the Eightfold Path. And let's remember that there's about 20 of us here. And so if you want to share, we want you to. But at the same time, we also want you to know that there may be others out there. So just to set that ground rule for all of us, including myself, because I'm the one that first has to shut up. You understand?